Agents of Smooch. For today's mission, we are taking another foray into a sexy movie, so please be forewarned that this is a not safe for work and for kids episode. By popular demand from our agents and our members, we are going to be talking about the 2002 movie Secretary, starring Maggie Gyllenhaal and James Spader. I am director Annette Weirstra, and I have a full cast of agents who are excited to talk to me about staplers. We have the return of our kink expert, agent Veronica Jans. Hello, Veronica. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
We are excited to have you. And we also have agent Tiff Armand.
Four P's, please.
And we have agent Kathy Campbell.
Hello. I have my red markers all ready to go.
Ooh. Mm. Watch that spelling. And for the very first time, all the way from Scotland, we have Agent James Thompson. Hello, James.
Hi. I'm just going to shyly watch you all from around the corner.
That's how kind of kink right there.
So a collection of our agents have watched this movie together for a tipsy, incomprehensible Agents of Smooch commentary, which is available to our members. And if you're interested in supporting us and getting those commentaries, you can become a member of the Incomparable Network. The link is in our show notes. As an added bonus, you can also hear James, Tiff, and I, and soon to be Kathy, play sexy, chaotic, total D&D for Total Party Kill. So, you know. It's not that sexy.
It's not sexy. It's more like
pervy.
Pervy.
Lewd.
Yeah.
Lewd sounds better.
It's like the 15-year-old's idea of lewd, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Anyways, we have a ridiculous amount of fun, and if you want to hear it early, you can find us also on our network. But today, we are here to talk about Secretary, which is the story of a surprise secretary and her boss. This is a story that could go very, very wrong, but somehow manages to go very right. At the beginning of the movie, we have Lee Holloway, played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, struggling with her mental health post-hospitalization, where she finds a job as a secretary for a lawyer, Edward Gray, played by James Spader.
Oh,
yeah.
I love him. That voice just never gets old. Like, anytime
I hear it,
it's like sex on wheels.
It's very awkward to watch Age of Ultron. Because I had forgotten that he was the voice of Ultron. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
It's just like when you hear Alan Rickman's voice. Okay, this is just me, but like.
No, it's not just you.
I was watching the movie and all of a sudden I was like, that voice. I know that voice very well.
I've watched like 8 seasons of The Blacklist, which is not the best show in the world, just for James Spader and his gravitas.
I've done the same, James.
We love you if you're listening.
Totally is. He totally is.
Old, young, new, old, I don't care.
No, it's exactly what happened. I was like, I purposely put on The Blacklist, just like background noise. I'd seen like 4 seasons of it. And then my partner was like, oh, what's this? I was like, oh, just nothing. If I tell him it's really good, he won't really want to watch it. So then he just sits there. And then like within that evening, we're like binging the first season. I was like, yes.
Yeah, and I still think of him also as like nice Daniel Jackson from the Stargate movie, and he's quite different in
this
film.
Great movie. And he was watching TikTok. Like, my partner watches more TikTok than I ever do, and he's like, what is this? Why is he in there with William Shatner? I'm like, that is Boston Legal. Shall we start that next?
He does make a very good naughty lawyer.
I know. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think I am like the only one who hadn't seen this movie until recently, but I'd heard a lot about it from some certain people. These people.
As people.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It came up, I think, I don't know if it came up in our 50 Shades of Grey episode where we had Veronica with us last time, or if the members asked for it. And they specifically said, bring Veronica back. We want her to come talk about Secretary. So, you know, it took us a while, but here we are. Let's hear all your feelings about this movie.
I want to start for just a second because I feel like I have a lot of questions for Veronica. Normally in like a social setting, I wouldn't be like, please teach me everything. But here on a podcast, I feel like that that's warranted, if that's okay with you.
Oh, of course. I consent.
It's, okay, good. So I think the big question for me about this movie, and I think that the underlying question of this movie really, I mean, it's a hot movie, right? But the idea of consent is so fluid and strange and not really addressed here, even though it is kind of like a romance about these two people. But the way that they find their way to each other, it sometimes feels like it shouldn't. It feels like it should be problematic, but is it? So I guess that's my question. Like, what, when you, you know, someone who's in this community and who understands all of this and especially being new to it, like the first time, how does this movie rate with reality and consent? And yeah, like, what are we watching here?
Yes, I love that question.
And I think, too, I'm going to add in, like, because of the dynamic of the boss and employee.
Yes.
It's like that adds in very, like I say, it can be, it could be super problematic, but it doesn't, it didn't feel like it.
And he's also 40, he's 42 and she's 25. So.
Yeah. So there's lots of dynamics.
It's very complex. And as much, like, I watched it when I was first, like, 13. I don't think I had any business watching Secretary, but I just had to because it was like one of those things that you don't like. Blockbusters was like down the street for me. So yes, dating myself, but like, I'm like, oh, what is this list of must watch movies on this table that I just randomly stumbled upon? And I was just like checking them off. I was like, oh, Alien, Secretary. Oh, what's Secretary? So when I first watched this when I was 13, like, I was so confused and but I absolutely loved it. Like, I was so aroused. I had no idea what this was about. And I was just like, all I know is I want more. But of course, like, this movie, like, got tucked away into, like, you know, the back of my brain because it's like, it felt so wrong at the same time. And then watching it again, now being fully aware and awake and being fully immersed in the kink community, it's like, as much as things went wrong in Secretary, it was also perfect because, like, in the world of kink and stuff, like, we're all aware of consent and asking for permission and making sure that the consent is actually enthusiastic. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. But the thing is, it's like, when you have two people who probably are not aware of what this is all about, there's, like, it portrays that there's a lot of grace to be given. And so even though, like, what Edward did wasn't correct, it's like, I feel like he, and you could see the pains in his face and his reactions, like, he's trying to figure it out. Like, he's, like, really disgusted with himself for liking what he likes, and here's Lee, who has no idea what the hell is going on. And so it's like, they're both trying to, like, stumble through it. So in a way, even though there's, like, that employer-employee relationship, they're almost sort of starting on the same ground, because we don't know the full history of Edward's story, right? I just wanted, because I don't think so. I haven't watched it so many times. Okay.
From what I can remember is basically the only part we see is his interaction with his ex-wife and how she's just fully disgusted in everything that he's done, which makes me think that he attempted these discovery type things with her, but she didn't know enough about herself to say no or what limits to put on anything, and just kind of completely shut down and shut it off, which of course added to his shame and concerns and kind of mental state for the whole thing.
There was also the one secretary that, like, left in the beginning. She, like, left crying when Lee was coming in. So there's also, like, the implication that something went horribly wrong and really inappropriate with that as well.
I mean, if you need an illuminated Secretary Wanted sign, it's probably not a good indication.
Right. That
of
is
your
an excellent point.
But did you all catch the red bulbs that were placed? Like, it's like these little things you don't pay attention to until you're like, red, maybe? Am I making something out of nothing? But I was just like, I felt like that was kind of purposely put there.
Oh, is that like a code sign, like a handkerchief?
I don't know. No, situation? But it's just like he likes those red Sharpies, but like if you see on the Secretary Wanted sign, like every bulb was white except for like two. So I was just like, ooh. Oh, maybe.
Maybe that was two that like passed his first tests or something.
Yeah. So I would say that compared to the second Mr. Grey in 50 Shades of Grey, it's mm-hmm. like Christian knew full well. He was fully immersed in the kink scene. I mean, like he had a playroom, a play dungeon, and all these toys, right? So it's like his kink education is so much higher, whereas like Edward and Lee were more like on the same ground, even though he had had some experiences. Like, I don't think he knew fully what he was wanting. Like, sure, there's you can see that there's, like, a lot of similarities, I can't believe I'm saying this, between the two Greys, but it's, like, they both were pained, and it seemed like that seems to be, like, a theme, though, for kink and BDSM, that, like, you have to be in pain or go through a lot of trauma or shit to explore kink, which is, that's something that I myself have gone through enough trauma, but it's just, like, that seems to be the theme, like, you don't explore kink unless you have some traumatic events happen in your life, but, like, yeah, I feel like Christian's pain is there as well, but, like, it's just he knew. Like, if you were well-educated enough to have all these toys and all that stuff, it's like you should have communicated with Anna what yeah. consent was and stuff. Whereas, mm-hmm. like, Edward, he's like, I got pervertibles. I got a pen, and I somehow have, like, a horse saddle. But, right? You know what I mean? So it just felt like Edward was not as educated.
And that's why you rent and not buy.
So funny thing was, in like when the movie first starts, like that scene is like pretty damn memorable and iconic, like with Maggie wearing the yoke, mm-hmm. yeah, and like walking through. Mm-hmm. And so in 2014, when I attended my first kink fest, there was a yoke on sale made by like a local vendor, and I was just like, I have to buy it. Like, this is like first kink fest, buy the yoke. It's like the story has come full circle. And I still have it to this day. And yes, I have had to make my partner's coffee while wearing the yoke. And it's not easy. Like, that shit, Maggie made it look really easy, because I'm like, I saw how nicely that stack of papers was placed just under the stapler. I'm like, I didn't get that. I saw she had a handicap. I'm like, uh-oh, not fair.
We did judge that on the while we were watching. We're mm-hmm. like, she did not actually pour that liquid yes. into that cup. That was already there.
I had a Keurig, so maybe that was my handicap. Thank God. Otherwise, it would have been a mess.
It's like everyone's homework now. Try to make coffee with a yolk.
It's not yeah. easy. It is not easy.
And today I learned what that was called. Thank you.
We're all about information.
Yes, absolutely. Education is so important.
So how about for the rest of you, where did you come to this movie and why do you love it so much?
I discovered it in college. Some of my...
Most people do their exploring in college.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, It's true. One of my roommates was like, oh, hey, we should watch this. And so we did. And I was just like, okay. And then I just distinctly remember the specific feelings that I had while watching the movie, and yet I hadn't seen it again until the recent one with you guys. So, like, it impacted my brain chemistry in such a deep way without me even remembering that it was really a movie, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I just loved the visuals, because there isn't anything that's overtly, like, deeply erotic in the way that sometimes, like, male gazy mm-hmm. movies that are like overtly sexy or sexualized just make me feel different ways. There was mm-hmm. none of that in this.
This whole movie feels like foreplay.
Yes. Yes.
Because I was trying to explain it to some friends. They were asking me, like, what are you talking about today on your show that you're going to be on this afternoon? And I was like, well, it's this movie, and they hadn't seen it. And I was trying to explain that it's so kinky and erotic, but I'm like, they don't even have sex until the end. And even then, you're not even that
sure
that
they really see it.
I don't even think they did. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. It's like this ultimate super kinky erotic movie that has almost no sex in it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's what it is. It's like, it's the tantalizing. It's the foreplay. It's the relationship building that you don't get to see for an entire movie. There's always like drama thrown into it that messes things up. I mean, yes, this has that, but it's all roped in together.
And it just goes to show you how much kink and BDSM is like a mental thing. Like
the gymnastics, that mental, not tricking, not just teasing, but like it's a full system awareness, not just, all right, I'm going to come and I'm going to whip you and it's going to be fun for us both. Like there's all of that consent and the power dynamics and the permission and allowances and what the limits are and all of that in play, which is why I can imagine it can be so dangerous if you're just like, all right, I got a cat of nine tails, let's play, without awareness of what comes into play too.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, like to me, I always thought that kink and BDSM was very physical because that's what you see. It's really hard to understand how much it's like a emotional, mental thing until you're really into it, because that's like what you can only showcase, right? The spanking or the whipping or whatever it is. But yeah, until I got into the kink scene, I didn't know that like BDSM was such a mental game. And it's like what makes it's more delicious than the physicalities, because like the physicalities is just like the icing on top. It's just the tip. And that's what we see, right? So much of that power dynamic, the struggle, the mental play, here you can only eat like four peas, one slice of butter and all the ice cream you want. Like that is so much like a mental thing. It has nothing to do with sex or at all, but yet it's so erotic.
I think it was also super tantalizing about this movie is that you're watching these two people discover this together.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
Absolutely.
We do get the sense that like Edward Gray has more of a history with like liking these things and pursuing them than Lee does. But it's these two people discovering it together. And it's like you're always on the precipice of, was that too far? Was that too far? Was that too far? And it's just like you're feeling the same things that the characters are feeling. They're each going through that too. They're each saying, ooh, was that too far? Was that too far? And like, it keeps building. And that's what's so just wonderfully delicious about this movie.
And it allows you as the viewer to be introduced to it too. It mm-hmm. doesn't come into it with this expectations of, oh, well, if you don't know it's called a yoke, well then you can't be a part of
you
our
club. You can't sit at this table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. This is our special kink movie and you're not invited.
Right. There's this discovery for everybody in all layers of it, which I think helps make it really special.
I liked when you were discussing about doing the recording for the commentary, and I was like, oh, you're talking about Secretary, and this was like at 3 a.m. or something my time, and I said, oh, I'd really, you know, like to have talked about that because I love the film. And I think Tiff's response she sent to me was, who the hell actually are you? Or something like that. And yeah, I mean, like as a slightly older James, I saw this, I think, in my 30s. And I hadn't seen it in a while, though, so I rewatched it. And it was a lot more vigorous than I remembered. And, you know, we got to spanking in under 50 minutes. And I thought that was much further towards the end of the movie in my brain. but it was like in the UK, at least the marketing for the film was like absolutely not subtle in any fashion. It was literally just a woman bent over. So all you could see was legs and bottom, you know, wearing tights and a skirt.
The tights with the seam.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that picture. Yeah.
Oh, holding her ankles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with mm-hmm. the tagline, assume the position. And it's like, oh. It's like whoever did the marketing never actually watched the movie and yep. just got the description of it. But yeah, I mean, I think to echo your points, it felt realistic. And when I watched it, I felt I understood things a bit more in that community. And, you know, it was it wasn't exploitative, really. It was, you know, just a strange love story, but an interesting one.
I think the most memorable scene for me lately, so the first time I watched it, the first scene that was like super erotic was the very end. Like when he told her to put both his hands on the table. Like that is still to this day really, really hot, because as the right side of the slash, the submissive in a relationship like this, I'm just like, it makes so much more sense to watch the movie now that I'm in a dynamic. But it was just like that scene was just, I don't know, I couldn't explain it. But then like lately, one of my favorite scenes has been like when he tells her to pick up the phone because it's not ringing, because he wants her to have a bigger voice. I'm like, oh my God, that is such like my relationship. Like my partner is trying to, he's like, I always want you to be better than when I first met you. And so when Edward was like, speak louder, or like, there's like that voice I'm looking for, I'm like, oh, that just like brought many tears, because I was like, such a great portrayal of what BDSM can be. It's like the sexy, but it's also like the nurturing. It's also like building each other up and bringing out the confidence and the best in each other. Because like, yeah, when they were fully into it, you could see that his gait was lighter and that he just felt more at ease than before. That was so touching.
I love that they have that scene in this movie. I feel like they could have left that out. It was such a, it seems like, okay, when I first saw this movie, that felt really out of place, that scene with the telephone and mm-hmm. him encouraging her to like find her confidence. And I love that mentorship part of it. And at first I thought like, that's really weird. I didn't get it. And now watching it with a little bit more of an open mind and an open eyes to what all of this, you know, means and the dynamics around it, that scene really like, it took the erotic out of that dynamic, just like you were saying, Veronica. Like it, Veronica, right? Oh my God, did I say the right name?
Yes, of course. Okay. I go by many things.
Just in case I didn't like just slip up. Just like you were saying, and it really stands out like a weird thing, but I'm really glad that the director and the editors, they kept that in, because it brought out this more to the relationship, this non-sexual element to the dominant submissive that I think a lot of people who are in the community appreciate, and then a lot of people who aren't in the community would never think was there.
Yeah, they would think they wouldn't understand. But like, Kathy, you've known me for quite some time, so it's like, I think you can attest to this. Like, and the story for me is like, my partner's like, okay, what's, as we were negotiating our dynamic, and I had to journal like every day to like really make sure that this was the thing that was for us. Like he read my journal entries because we weren't near each other. But it's just like he asked me, he's like, what's one thing that makes you extremely insecure or that not confident, that you're not confident about? And I was immediately like, cooking. And so he's like, from this day forward, starting tonight, unless we eat out, you are cooking dinner every night. And so this was in 2016. So I would say like almost five years later, I feel like I'm a pretty confident and good cook, but it's just like, that's what brought tears to my eyes. Cause I was like, oh my God, this was what happened like in our own way. And he just wants you to be the best that you can be, to uplift. It's not about like demeaning or humiliation unless we ask for it. But it's just like, there's also that nurturous part. And I would say like, Kathy, as a friend, you've seen me like grown much more confident.
Yeah, now. I was going to say, I've seen you since with your previous relationship too, and just the growth between the partner and the strength of your partner as a human and as a caring, giving partner in that relationship has made your growth so much more impactful. And it's just like, regardless of whatever, it's just proof that regardless of what type of relationship you're in, mm-hmm. it's important to have that connection as humans and be able to communicate and consent in all of the different ways so that you can give your partner what you need and what you want and be the person that they need as well.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like, I've thrown a box of Band-Aids at him before out of frustration. I picked the lightest thing, right? I mean, I don't have it. Like, I still have issues, but I'm just like, we do our best, and it's not perfect. But I'm just like, if there's anybody in here that could attest that that telephone scene was an example of a real-life manifestation, I'm like, I'm it.
I think it's interesting that watching Secretary helps me better articulate why 50 Shades doesn't hit the mark. And I think it really centers around what we're talking about here, which is that when you see the story of Lee and Edward, they both grow, they both become closer, they both know each other, they both have, like, it's a very positive exploration of sex. They both, even though he's dominant, they both seem to have agency in the the story around, like, and it's agency within their romantic life, their sex life, but also in their personal lives. Like, you just see how much she changes, whereas they try to do that in 50 Shades of Grey with Anna, but it really, it doesn't hit the mark, and the dynamic just doesn't, it's awkward, it doesn't feel like, even trying to, like, lay out all that consent with paperwork and all that weird stuff. Yeah. It's just like, it's like they're trying so hard to hit the mark on that, and yet it all just ends up being really unhealthy instead of healthy.
Yeah. I wonder if they had a kink consultant in Secretary.
They had to have, right? Like, it's
or someone had to know.
It's so informed.
Yeah.
Because they definitely brought on a kink consultant for 50 Shades of Grey, especially for the dungeon or the playroom. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure. I mean, like, this movie was like, what? I saw her date the letter in Secretary to be 1999, but I think it came out in, like,
2002.
Okay.
So there's also, like, what, as you were speaking, there brought to my mind, there's this moment in Secretary where she yells time out. And I think it's at the end when she's trying to figure out, like, like, to get him enticed again and, like, figure out what's going on. And she yells time out. And now that I'm thinking about it, comparing it to, like, 50 Shades of Grey, her yelling that time out means that, you know, this whole time she was very aware that they were playing together. Like, they were playing this game, that the way he was with her, the way, like, eat the peas and all the ice cream and, like, you know, the little things back and forth, they were both very aware that this is a game. And I think that he even says, like, we can't do this 24/7 or something like that.
Why not?
Right, why not? But, like, as long as they both know it's, you know, play, and there's that's the consent, right? And so with her yelling time out in the Secretary, I feel like it's so different than how Anastasia treats things in 50 Shades of Grey, because it's almost like she's trying to become this thing that Christian wanted and getting frustrated and not becoming it, when really it's not like becoming anything. It's just like, it's the comparison of, like, I'm playing a role that I enjoy playing for a kinky purpose, and this is, like, how I feel and how I want to be in this dynamic. And then versus, I'm not this way and I'm trying to assume a role because that's what you want. And so it's like those two things, it's like one is very sexy and the other one is very, like, upsetting and desperate and trying and just unnatural, because it didn't come naturally to that character, whereas it comes very naturally to Lee. And so, like, those two together, I think that that's why Secretary is so hot when 50 Shades isn't.
Yes.
I think one of the other things that it sort of informed me along was the self-harm aspect, because it was obviously something I was aware of, and but I'd never really had the sort of deeper thoughts about what was involved and why it was happening. So it was kind of when he gave the explanation to Lee about what it was, and she goes, well, that's, you know, that's one way of putting it, I kind of went, oh yeah, okay, I get that.
Well, and I think they also, like, you know, he helped her find a different outlet for, not that, like, the desire for pain, but, like, she was cutting herself for a reason and trying to feel something. And he just helped her find a different way to feel and connect to herself that doesn't replace the cutting, but you know, they're not equivalent, because like, I feel like that would be an unhealthy connection to make, but that he's like helping her replace that with a healthier way and a healthier outlet to find a way to connect to her feelings and emotions.
Yeah. I mean, maybe just having someone in her life that she trusts.
Yeah.
And him, just like the phone, you know, the confidence building, the helping make yourself better, you know, the growing together kind of thing. He tells her, like, you're not going to do this again. And she trusts him in this relationship. And that's just like another element to this movie, that it shows that, you know, the right dynamic can be a great, healthy change in what somebody needs. Like, she has always wanted that structure in her life. And that's, I think, some of the backstory that we see in this movie, is that like she's without that structure from her family. And she, her pain resorts, or I should say her pain translates into self-harm, because it's the only thing she can control. I mean, again, I am not a doctor. I am assuming all of this. I'm talking on a podcast, but like that element to this movie, sorry, there's truck things that go in by. That element to this movie, it's one of those things that it has like a little asterisk next to it for me. It's like, I like that they gave that to this character, that like she found her way out of this, and that they highlighted something like that, that is a real problem in people's lives, and they weren't too afraid to show it. But asterisk, I'm like a little bit upset, like, why does the woman who's getting involved in a, you know, kinky relationship have to have like a super dark backstory like this, you know, and be like a person, like a victim in this sense. But again, like, is this a healthy thing that like we saw her build her way out of it and find, in, again, you don't want to say a different outlet, because it wasn't a replacement, but it was a, she found a better way of coping. So I don't know. Like, does anyone have an answer for that? Like, cause that's like one of those, like, I'm looking at the teeter totter of like, yeah, that's a little this. Yeah. And then it's like, well, but it's also like nice that they actually showed someone, you know, going through the trauma of being a cutter. You know, they don't show that a lot. Like, people don't see that on screen.
Yeah. And I just think it, like, I don't think they're trying to say this, but I think there is the danger of connecting the cutting. Like, cause I think he wanted her to stop cutting herself for the sake of pain and, like, you know, like the reasons why she was cutting and finding a different outlet. But it's like, you don't want to connect that action to the kink, because I think they're different and it's not a straight line between them, and it's like there's actually a stop point between them.
Right.
But I guess like the same way the phone answering the phone isn't like directly connected, but it is
exactly like a little... So it's like, yeah, you kind of want to make sure, I don't know. It is a complicated, I don't have the answer for that, but.
Right? That's why this movie's so complicated.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
there needs to be a, like, there's a wall between those two things, is separate and not a path, you know, if that makes sense.
I mean, there was definitely, I think, an aspect with this film was like, I really love this film. Should I love this film? You know, it was kind of like.
So I can't speak to anything regarding the self-harm, because that's not something that I have ever experienced myself. And so it's like, but I can talk to the part about that need for structure. Like, we're all very complicated people. And it resonated with me a lot, especially watching this as an older person, because I'm like, I need that structure. I crave that structure. I think I've always been a people pleaser. Maybe that was like something that my family instilled in me. Maybe it's a natural thing. I don't know. Nature versus nurture. But it's just like, there is this desire to please. But at the same time, for me, there was also this desire to soar and to carve my own path. And so for me, having a DS dynamic such as this has been very centering. It's actually very meditative, because it's like, in a way, even though I'm not the one in control, it's like, I know that if I do X, Y, Z, it's always going to yield me the same response every time. And that's in a way very comforting. So like when she's like, I want a boring life, I want a boring job. It's like she's craving that structure, that routine, because if she is that type of person who is a people pleaser, and you see that portrayed in the movie, like, she smiles when he gives her like that compliment. Like, she was in the copy room or something, and he's like, oh, good letter. And she totally smiles. It's like, I know that feeling, because the desire to please is strong in a lot of people. And so this gives you a really healthy outlet to know boundaries. Like, I think that's what's great is, like, you learn boundaries within a DS structure if it's, like, set up in a healthy way.
So would this movie be made today?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Because look at 50 Shades of Grey and how much, like, sex and stuff was involved, like, right off the get-go. Yeah. Right? So I actually don't think so. People crave the physical aspects of it. They, I don't know. Like, I don't think so. That's gut feeling.
I think it should be.
Yes, it should be.
This style, this awareness of why a movie is being made and what feelings and emotions and viewers should be coming away with it. I think it should. This should be concentrated. Okay, here's the thing. We're going to make a petition, and everyone who is making a movie that has sex in it, has a relationship, has to watch this movie, take notes, and implement the foreplay aspects of it.
How did our petition from the last movie go? Remember how we were trying to recast 50 Shades of Grey? Like,
yes.
Have we made any progress with that yet? Like,
so Ryan far, Reynolds? no one's called us.
Yeah, we have not received any sort of, like, contact Dang from it. Anyone in charge. I know.
I did see that Gwyneth Paltrow was supposed to play Lee originally. I kept finding that on the internet.
I can't imagine that.
That would have been a very different movie.
Very different.
I feel like this would have been, like, a Sundance movie, you know, because, like, I think most people would be so afraid.
Fun fact, it was Sundance
originally. Oh, it was? Yeah. I was actually going to ask if it actually was a Sundance original. I was on the IMDb page trying to figure it out. That makes total sense because I feel like a regular, you know, blockbuster kind of, let's put this out there, like a 50 Shades of Grey, like, everyone's going to come see this movie. It just, the balancing act here of, like, is this consent? Is this not consent? Is this this? Is it that? Like, you can't define this at all. And I think that that's too scary for a lot of
I think movies. That's why it wouldn't get made today, is because I think people would just read the brief summary and go, no, we're not going to touch this.
I mean, like, 50 Shades is supposed to be, like, erotic and super sexual, but, like, it's so one thing. It's so one note. And the way the characters are, like, you can put a label on that movie so quickly and everyone knows what you're getting, even though it's, you know, supposed to be, like, you know, kinky and erotic and, oh my gosh, your grandma saw 50 Shades of Grey. Like, oh, my stockings and garters. Like, that, it seems like that was okay because it could be that was okay because it could be defined very easily. Whereas we're sitting here talking about this movie and I still don't really know, like, like, what is okay or not okay or, like, going on with this movie because it's so wonderfully dynamic and interesting and well acted.
I think there's a lot of consent going on. It's just not explicit, right? I think, and correct. When we watched it together, we were talking about, like, the way they look at each other, there is consent happening, right? So, like, the way they respond to each other, there's consent. And I think in real life, it's not like we're like, I consent to this, I consent to that, right? Like, consent is a lot more fluid than that. So I feel like there's a huge amount of consent happening in this, where in a more natural way, where, and like, we're seeing points where it is like, I need a time out. So, like, there is a way for them to put a stop on it. And I feel like if someone said no right in this moment, that it would stop there. Whereas, you know, with 50 Shades of Grey, they go so hard into, like, the consent part where it's awkward and weird and like, not, it's not sexy. It's not, it's like, so, I don't know. It's so bananas.
Well, that's, like, the thing, right? It's like, who's taking advantage of something? Like, is, you know,
I'm getting locked into a legal agreement where I have to agree to this point that's and true. That point.
And it's when, like, she didn't even know what some of the points were, and she has to say right then and there approves or not.
We hate Fifty Shades so much, it's leaking into this.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, we can't shut up about how much we hate it. It comes out a lot.
Yeah.
I've not seen it, but hearing you talk about it makes me want to watch it just so I can hate it.
Oh, you should watch it and then tell us all about it.
You need to watch it with our commentary along with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, because we talk over the whole thing and then buy jackets. Like,
that's true. We buy a very good jacket.
We go online shopping during that movie. It's so incredibly wonderful.
Again, become a member. Get our commentary.
But yeah, like the whole idea of like James Spader, like when you're watching Secretary, who's the villain? Right? Like at first you kind of think like, James Spader is the villain? Like,
because he's so degrading and all that stuff, right?
Like, he's the villain, but yet he's also, like, the prince, you know, that comes on
her and boyfriend.
And his ex-wife. Yeah. They're the villains.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, that's what makes me like movies like this, is, like, I love not knowing where the movie's taking me. And it's a sexy movie for smart people. It just is.
Yes. Yes. I love that, for people who are intellectual. So for one question that comes to mind is, if they were to make another Secretary movie, would you all prefer the prequel or the sequel?
I mean, is James Spader in it again?
Yes.
That's all I need to know.
Well, then it's going to be a sequel.
Okay. Everybody reprises their role. Duh. Yeah.
Oh,
like, nobody can play James Spader's role. Like Maggie, like they casted Maggie and James so perfectly. It's like you can't see anybody else.
Okay, what if they do a sequel where it is a way to teach these types of techniques so that other people don't have to discover
50 Shades of Grey?
50 Shades of Grey.
I was leaning towards prequel. I just want to know his backstory.
Yeah, but
it's just going to be like an unhappy relationship with his wife. I mean,
right. Where yeah, he's true. Like, oh, let me spank you. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're freaking.
I mean, maybe even if you could assume that like the ex-wife considered it abusive or, you know, like something to that extent. I mean, she's pretty pissed.
Yeah. But did you remember where she was like submissive and Lee was like, excuse me? She was very confused. I mean, when I first heard that, I was like, wait, what? And so it's like, to me, a part of me wonders, like, does she know? I don't know.
I think the ex-wife knows at that point and obviously is not a submissive. So she was really unhappy with a relationship with someone who wanted to be the dominant.
I mean, they had internet in 2002.
That's true.
I mean, it does take place in 99, though.
Trust me, I was on the internet way right before that.
James is our internet expert.
Yeah. But if you didn't necessarily know to look for things, like, I don't know what her job is. I don't know, like, if she had access to certain things to look for. And so if she could say, oh, why is my husband spanking me? Or, you know, go to Yahoo Answers or whatever.
Maybe this is why his office is just full of typewriters and all this stuff. It's to sort of prevent people looking things up on the internet.
Right. Yep.
Here, I want to read the storyline plot that's out on IMDb right now for this movie. And you can all tell me kind of what you think of it in our woke sense that we all have. Okay. An emotionally fragile woman recently released from a mental hospital for self-mutilation goes to school to gain secretarial skills to gain employment. She has an alcoholic father and a codependent mother who are clueless as to who she really is, which is a tormented soul who really wants to find something with which she can find success. She is a great secretary and finds a job with a unique, old-fashioned, but off-center, in-charge boss with a somewhat sadistic sexual proclivity. She grows and envelops, and so does he. Sorry, she grows and evolves. I just put that in. She grows and evolves, and so does he.
The first thing I'd say to that is he's as fucked up as she is.
Right. I feel like they pitch it really... I don't know. It's like, yeah, that's all kind of true. But I don't feel like that's what the movie's about.
No, this leans into the fact that clearly the only women that would be involved mm-hmm. in a relationship mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. this is someone who's emotionally fragile and just released from a mental hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that is totally the fragile word just like raises mm-hmm. my hackles.
And she's also not a great secretary.
Mr. Gray isn't even mentioned until the last like half, three quarters of that plot summary. Like mm-hmm. it's all about her.
And her parents get more time than he does.
Yeah, no, that's wrong. Is what we're saying.
Yeah, it feels like I'm a little bit sad. I wonder if that's kind of why the marketing for this kind of movie, just like you said, James, the picture with the woman bent over with the stockings and her bum in the air and secretary written across it like juicy sweatpants. Like, it's just, it seems to be have been marketed as something way different than it is. And whenever I tell anybody about this movie, it's so difficult to explain. So I guess I can a little bit see their problem here, but whenever someone has watched it, or if I find a group of people like all you fine folks who are like, I love this movie, it's because it is so much more than what like this weird little synopsis says it is, or the poster, you know, represents it to be.
If you like rented that movie from Blockbuster or equivalent based on the cover and not reading anything, or even maybe even reading that summary, it's quite a different movie. And mm-hmm. just seems like a strange way to market it, because you're just going to like disappoint or confuse or whatever.
I think I first started watching it because I saw the trailer with her with the, what was that called? I learned it. The yoke.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just learned it. with that opening scene, I think that one of the like streaming trailers or something had that, and I was like, yes, we need to watch this movie. So I was never like out in the world seeing this marketed, but I can see why a lot of people might not have watched it.
Well, I remember that poster, that graphic of it, and I feel like I probably didn't see it because I assumed it was more like one of those like college rompy dude movies. Right?
It looks like Showgirls, like the way Showgirls is marketed with, you know, Tori Spano.
Also,
oh, no,
one
name?
I haven't seen.
Jesse Spano.
No idea.
Oh, that would be a good incomprehensible, because it's bad,
really bad,
but enjoyable.
Excellent.
But it has that same kind of movie vibe with the, when you look at the poster, or I guess, you know, Blockbuster box or whatever you would call it, that like hyper sexualized part of this movie. And they're like, we said, there's like no sex until they're after they're married. At the very end of the movie, they're already married, and we finally see them like banging against, like, while she's tied to a tree, like,
she's literally wearing the wedding ring. So
it's very hot.
Which is not as comfortable as you think it is. Not the wedding ring, the tree part.
Oh, it doesn't look comfortable at all.
Okay, just wanted, you know, first person experience was a little bit painful, because I was like, I want to try that. Okay, so I just pulled up HBO Max's description for their one-liner for secretary. It says, a young woman recently released from a mental hospital gets a job as a secretary to a demanding lawyer, where their employer-employee relationship turns into a sexual sadomasochistic one. Agree, disagree, too simple. I mean, it was not, like, it wasn't so much an S&M relationship.
Again, I wouldn't so much call it sadomasochistic.
Yeah, I feel like that term is incorrect, but I'm not an expert on it, but I feel like that makes it just go way too harsh.
But I think that's what has to grip people in, because when you hear dominant submissive, it doesn't roll off the tongue as nicely as sadomasochistic. And it feels like the S&M world is much more known than the DS world, because you see the giver of pain and the receiver of pain, whereas DS is so much more mental and emotional. So I think they needed that qualifier.
And they also have the alliteration where they're trying to appeal people to sexual sadomasochistic. Like,
right.
And yeah, it doesn't, it seems like it's marketed like they're just in this movie whipping each other all day. And it's just not. Right. It's not that at all.
So how would you market it? What's the one sentence summary?
No, gosh, I am not a marketer.
I'm going to need like a week.
Okay, right. That's your homework. Well,
pause, come back in a week, finish recording.
I mean, it definitely needs to center somewhere around like
the discovery.
Yeah, the mental foreplay of it. And again, like a lot of these headlines and stuff, I hate to say it, but they feel written for someone who isn't into a lot of foreplay. That's the way I'll put it.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to get you to watch the movie quickly, right? So it has to capture your attention right away. And it feels like S&M just seems to scream, or the sexual S&M part stands out. Not to say there isn't any S&M in there, but it's like it's a smaller note compared to the DS part of it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would center on like the discovery and the romance of it, even though it's, you know, a off the beaten path romance, or maybe on the beaten path. Ooh.
Nice.
That path to his office. Oh, that is a very sexy beaten path.
I like when you said this whole movie feels like foreplay. Like, I feel like that is a really good summary of the mood of this movie.
Yeah.
It's also listed as a comedy. It says comedy, yeah. Drama, romance.
Well, that's just like, we don't know what genre it is. Let's
it's
throw
literally
all of them.
All of them.
It's like we just left out horror and sci-fi because we know there's none of that in there.
There's no vampires.
Comedy, drama, romance.
I don't know. Let's just stick it in all of them.
And that's what kind of, that's again, like, because they can't define it, kind of makes it good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love another Secretary movie. And if, like, I was surprised that there was no book that came before the movie.
There is a short story.
There is a short story.
Right. But, like, a longer, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, 50 Shades of Grey has, like, four movies? Wait, three books, four movies. So it's like, I would have appreciated a novel.
The short story is like quite a different story as well. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's not really a love story. And she just stops going to work. and then he runs for mayor at the end, and a reporter comes trying to get dirt on him. And that's the end of the story.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I got to read the story.
I will. We have the link to it. I will put the link in the show notes. So
it's only like 17 pages or something.
Yeah,
it is
short. Yeah.
So that's why I don't consider there a book around it, because I'm like, it's so different. But I was like, I would love something more detailed for this movie.
So we're talking about, like, you know, wanting another one of these movies or a longer story or something. Does anyone have any recommendations for anything like The Secretary? Like, if you loved this movie, do you have any other movie or book or TV show or anything, like, recommendations that would kind of go along with this? Because a lot of niche communities, I feel like, that feel underrepresented in media have a hard time finding media to consume that feels like them. And this might fall under that category. Is like, that's why it's so special of a movie. I can't name anything.
I can't
else.
Really think of anything. And I've watched a lot because I've tried, like you said, I'm like, I wish there was a movie that encapsulated what I felt. And Secretary is still a number one thing.
Like, what's the magic of this movie that gets it so right when everyone else gets it so wrong?
Because they focus so much more on the emotional and the mental.
Yeah, the vulnerability of both of them. Both mm-hmm. of them learning what they like, but also what they want and being able to accept that. So really what I'm hearing is that we need the Moises treatment for Secretary to be a television show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So out of interest, I went into Amazon and I looked at the people who bought this also bought. And it recommends, the biggest recommendation for people who bought Secretary is 9.5 weeks.
Yeah, that came to mind, but it's like not really, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie many times, but it doesn't compare.
It doesn't have that same emotionality to it.
That's why I didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
There's
but
also
we
a
all
movie
know
from,
that scene.
There's also a movie from 1995 called The Secretary, which is very different. Disgruntled Secretary Deirdre turns to murder and blackmail after being turned down for a promotion.
That's the sequel, different. Then.
So. That's the or is it the prequel?
But that is listed under More Like This. No, it's not. It has the same name.
Well, this is the problem when it's a comedy, drama, romance.
That's true.
Right.
Comedy, drama, romance.
Murder, comedy, drama, romance.
And then the only thing I can think of is the book and film, The Story of O, but it is so erotic, so different that it might be too much. Like, it's borderline almost, I think, pornography. I haven't watched that movie in a long time. I watched it once because I couldn't get a hold of it anywhere else, but it's like, I can send you, or you can look up the Wikipedia page of it, but it's called The Story of O.
So it's one of the ones in this list of eroticas.
Yeah, Secretary it's is number super one. Erotic. Because now you're looking at like the deeper parts of DS, which is like master-slave relationships and like sexual servitude. So it's a lot.
Yeah, and like number two on this list is 11 Days, 11 Nights, which is in 11 days' time, Michael is due to wed his fiancée, Helen. However, when he meets Sarah, he finds himself unable to resist her, which doesn't – none of these seem quite – it's more like, ooh, sex!
Yeah, you were mentioning, you said that like a lot of these other movies and films, they feel like that they are on the verge of pornography or possibly just are pornography, which again is fine, but it's a different vibe, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, my husband will often joke about me loving this movie and he'll be like, oh, it's basically porn. Like, he hasn't really watched it. But I was like, but it's not, you know, like I think about it, I'm like, it's erotic, but that's what kind of is great about this movie is that it's not just porn, and explaining about how the dynamic is it changes things. And yeah, there aren't a lot of movies that do that.
I think it's making me think too of Bridgerton, which is also shifting sex scenes a little bit differently, where a lot of times it's like you have those movies where it's all about the sex, and this is like actually inserting a whole lot of sex into a romance story that has a lot more where it's not the focus, you know, because I think a lot of the time the sex becomes the focus. And it's also Bridgerton is really female gaze, whereas a lot of the times the stuff you see as erotica still has a lot of male gaze with it and how it's seen. And yeah, like maybe there will be a time when we will come around again to being able to do something like Secretary, because I think we're sort of having more permission to have the sex scenes in more than just like those off to the side movies. But also, I don't know, it just feels like that's shifting a little bit where we're seeing sex scenes, and romance is having a bit of a revival too.
And the types of sex scenes, the foreplay and the care and the attention paid. So it's not just banging against the wall, which is fine. That's great. But you got to build up to it a little bit.
Foreplay.
Just a little bit of foreplay sometimes.
The scene at the end of Secretary when she's laying on that grass bed and he's just like, you know, laying next to her, like tracing with his finger on her body. Oh my gosh, it's so tender and good. And like, I don't know, maybe it's me or like what, I don't know, but that to me is so sexy. Like, that's just so much sexier than just like, oh, let's go bang bang bang.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think for a sequel, could you gender flip the whole movie?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
That's an idea. I like that
idea.
I'm wondering how that would play, like, as a movie today.
That might even play better. That might.
Yeah, I was like, it might be more likely to get made.
Yeah, that would probably solve a lot of the...
I was going to say, that can get you round...
tricky problems. Yeah.
Okay, let's get a script together.
And then, like, maybe James Spader makes a cameo as, like, a lawyer.
Yeah, just a little cameo. That sounds good.
Instead of a lawyer, we could have...
he's like from Office Depot. I'm here for your
pen. Oh wait, are we just making a porn now?
Somebody order a box of pens.
I don't think there are any eroticas out there that feature Office Depot prominently.
Okay, fine. He can be like an Amazon driver.
There we go. I'm here to refill your ink.
Oh.
Well, the Amazon driver who meets a true Amazon. So we could do
here
that.
We go. All right. So let's talk to Amazon.
Let's get a script going.
Get this.
Yep.
It obviously has to be on Prime. So.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like since we're now recasting our movie, we're probably getting to the end of our story here. And I will give everyone a round of final thoughts. So let's start in reverse order and say, any final thoughts, James?
There's something about this film that I think is interesting to view from a male perspective, because I think the film is, I would say, quite female-centered. Mm-hmm. So for me, watching it, it was kind of more like, you know, I'd got access to a secret book that I could read, if you see what I mean. Like the sort of slightly more understanding. And I think that was fascinating to me. And, you know, it's very rare to see a film that's sort of somewhat centered on female desire. And so I think it's worth anyone watching, even if they initially might feel put off by the subject matter, but they shouldn't be.
Yeah, I can see thinking you don't want to watch it because you don't want to watch a movie about kink. But I think it is actually much gentler and like more emotional than you probably would expect it to be.
Definitely, if you've just seen the poster.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or read a description about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this woman's desire that we're watching in this film, it's a desire for like this gameplay, this like kinky relationship, where I think a lot of the times women aren't considered in media to, like, good girls don't want to be spanked. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, right. That's right. Reserved for somebody who has a problem, or, you know, they're like, you're not supposed to want that. Or like the things that women want in romance movies are they just want to marry the guy, like they want a relationship
or and, change, you know, him.
Yeah. Or like, yes. Let's just hug and cuddle, like, which is, again, it's fine. Who doesn't love a good cuddle? But it seems like in this movie, she is allowed to want these like more dynamic sexual encounters, as we see when she's looking through the want ads and she tries out a whole bunch of other stuff to like experiment and see like what right. is this actually mean, and she ends up throwing tomatoes at some guy chained to a stove. And, you know, you all got to experiment to find out what yeah. your thing is. But it is nice seeing a young woman experiment and have the freedom to like pursue her desires and to figure out what she wants, and in a you know, kinky sexual way. And a lot of times we don't see that ever. We never get to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so many romances, like you say, they are tied up with wanting the happy ever after, whereas that didn't seem to matter until the very end of this movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the ending of the movie is a bit sort of very quick, happily ever after. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes from basically the people all camped outside, like the media reporter people or whatever outside the thing, and the hunger strike to, you know, domestic bliss kind of. That felt a bit quick, but I guess, you know, you have to fit it in a movie.
Yeah, I wonder if it had been made today, if it would have been okay to be a little bit longer and have a little bit more of the delayed release.
Even more foreplay.
Yeah.
I was like, I had a lot of foreplay in this movie. I'm okay with them just like washing over them, like, and then they got married and they put cockroaches in each other's beds and it was fine.
Kathy, any final thoughts?
I think that this is a great movie to, if you are curious about things, this is a movie to watch, not 50 Shades, mm-hmm. but this one, to watch and see how it makes you feel, see what you think, see if you might be a little French vanilla in your life, and allow yourself, I just like that it allows this ownership for mistakes to be made, but because they're communicating pretty much the whole time, obviously there's, you know, the big dynamic of not communicating at the end of it to for the plot point, but for the most part, they're communicating with words that they know, with things that they are able to understand. And I think that's really special. And I think that is something that should be experienced in more movies.
Mm-hmm. Tiff, do you have anything to add to what you just said?
I like that this movie puts the care back in kink. If that, like, because it doesn't just show someone in a sex dungeon. It doesn't just show, you know, like a dom wearing a bunch of leather and demanding things. It shows so much more. And I think that that is where this movie stands out. And it, to, you know, like, point out what everyone said. Like, I love that Kathy brought up, you know, the idea of you watching this movie and you, you know, even if you aren't going to totally, you know, embrace this lifestyle and be like, that's me, that's what I want. You know, if you want a little hair pull and a smack on the bottom, like, sometimes this movie is like, yes, I get that. I have a little French vanilla, you know, like, it doesn't say, like, you're in or you're out, baby. Like, you know, it's right. All of one thing. It's all this, you know, dark, brooding sex, right? Or it's tender love, missionary, right? Like, this shows that there is, like, a little bit out there. And if you're, like, enticed by a movie like this, it's kind of fun because it lets you have fun. It doesn't demand such a hard stance. Yeah. Or maybe it does.
And Veronica, I will give you our last final thoughts.
Oh, geez. To, like, you all have said amazing things, so I won't echo that because it's true. I guess the one thing I can add from my perspective is that this is by far still the most healthy portrayal of what a BDSM relationship can be like. And granted, even though Curtis and I met each other while we were both fully, like, woke in the kink community, it's like the permission you give each other to uplift each other up and to not yuck each other's yum or to yuck your own yum, just with, like, I don't know, a healthy approach to BDSM is the best thing for any relationship, even if you may not be kinky. And so I just love the permission that they give themselves and each other in the movie. And if that is not a great example of what relationships can be like when you're with the right people, I don't know what is. And so it's, like, by far the most accurate in terms of, like, what we even see in our own relationship. So if people are wondering if this is what it's like in a BDSM relationship, it's like, yeah, we can say firsthand it is. It's like, there's the high ups, there's, like, the crazy downs, there's the experimenting, there's the getting it wrong, but also figuring out how to make it right. So it's not perfect, and it's not a fairy tale story. It's, like, real life. And so this has been a very accurate portrayal of what it's like to experiment in a trustful, like, a trusting way.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Well, thank you all for coming and joining me. And thank you for coming with us again, Veronica. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. And thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you, Tiff.
You're very welcome.
And thank you, James.
Do you want some hot chocolate?
Oh, always. Always.
Hold on, let me water my orchids as you pan away.
And we will be back with you again with another mission soon. But until next time, stay safe, agents.
And assume the position.
Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of The Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon.